Chapter 68. Jesse had the pollo mole poblano. It was, as was all the food, authentic and delicious. It turned out that although Jesse might not have recognized the faces of any of the men with him that night, he had seen a few of them play ball. Four had gone on to have long NFL careers, and one, Darice Murray, was a new Hall of Famer. All of the guys referred to him as Canton, after Canton, Ohio, the location of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. As dinner went on and the drinks flowed, everyone relaxed, some a little too much. Many a tale was told out of school. Many that, if the wrong sets of ears had overheard, would have resulted in expensive divorces. Even though none of the experiences or stories were his, it was oddly comfortable for Jesse, having long ago been a part of many teams. The LAPD was the closest he'd come to that feeling since he'd had his shoulder ruined in Pueblo. But he'd screwed up his detective career so badly that just thinking of his time in L.A. knotted his belly. How strange that it had come full circle, and that the endpoints of the circle should meet in Dallas at Jen's wedding. It was Jen's cheating on him that had started his slide so deep into the bottle that he'd lost his way and his shield. In paradise, Jesse was more like the coach than he was like one of the players. He guessed he would always miss the camaraderie of a team. The number of guys had whittled down. Many of the less well-to-do men, the Costco casual crowd, had work in the morning or had long drives. The rest of them moved from the restaurant into the cigar bar area of Javier's. The atmosphere in the cigar bar was completely different. Back here, the smells of warm tortilla chips and fried onions were overwhelmed by the aromas of burning tobacco and money. Jesse, who'd had a few beers with dinner, was working slowly on a second Johnny Walker Blue Label and ignoring the Quaba Tradicionales in the ashtray on the table in front of him. Hale, with a skin full of Pappy Van Winkle's Family Reserve and feeling generous, prodded Jesse into both the scotch — he would have been happier with Black Label — and the cigar — he would have been happier without one. But it was Hale's celebration, and Jesse didn't want to create any more tension between them than already existed. "You know that's a hand-rolled Cuban cigar from my own personal stash you're letting go to waste there." Jesse ignored that, raised his glass, and tapped Hale's glass. "Thanks for inviting me along. I know my being here under these circumstances isn't what you would have wanted." "It's what Jen wanted, and that's what matters to me." "You love her that much? More than you know. She saved me from myself, from making the biggest mistake of my life. Even if things didn't lead to us getting hitched, I would have been grateful to her till the day they threw dirt on my sorry old ass. How's that?" "I expect you'll see a little later this evening," Hale said, and thumped Jesse on the shoulder. "Where's Kahan, Hale?"
"On assignment. If things work out, we should be seeing him tomorrow or the day after.
Now don't you go worrying about him." The bourbon was starting to get to Hunsicker, who was slurring his words and dropping letters. Then Jesse noticed something in Hale's eyes. He wasn't sure what it was, but whatever it was wasn't good. Jesse followed Hale's eyes as they moved away from his face and stared over his shoulder. As Jesse turned around to look, a booming voice rang out, cutting through the smoke and the background chatter.
"Well, how do, Hale Sapsucker? Mixed company prevents me from calling you what I should."
The man behind Jesse was a baby-faced toad and built in inverse proportion to his voice. He was round and squat and had probably dreamed of being 5'8 for 40-plus years. From his oversized Stetson cowboy hat to the embroidered lapels of his garish red sport jacket to his silver-toed boots, he was dressed like a Texan out of a 50s Hollywood movie.
"Jesse," Hale said, "meet Elroy Cates. Elroy, meet—" "I know who he is, Hale. Nothing goes on in this town I don't know about. Pleasure to meet you, Chief Jesse Stone."
He extended his little hand to Jesse, and Jesse shook it. Cates's grip was more like his voice than his stature. His handshake was steel.
"Question is,
Does Jesse know who you are, Hale?
Jesse didn't know what was going on, but it was pretty clear there was blood between Hunsicker and Cates, and it was all bad. He could also see Hale struggling with himself not to take the bait. And maybe, if there hadn't been quite as much bourbon in him, Hunsicker could have restrained himself.
What's that supposed to mean, you little...
Cates cut him off.
Means that your host here has a taste for things that don't belong to him. At least, he had the good sense to...
Things went quickly south. Before Cates could finish his sentence, Hunsicker threw a haymaker that would have felled a tree, but trees stand still. Cates did not. He leaned back, and the only casualty was Cates' cigar. Instead of throwing a punch of his own, Cates goaded him.
Hey, Hale boy, maybe time's come to stop picking fruit from other people's trees.
That did it. Hale jumped at Cates, but before he could get at him, Jesse and Doris Murray grabbed his arms and held him back. Cates just laughed, collected his still-lit cigar off the floor, and walked away. Hunsicker shrugged out of Jesse's and Murray's grasp.
Come on, Hale said. Let's go. Something stinks in here, and it ain't the cigars.